Football fans, welcome back to the Gronkcast, part of the Get More Sports Podcast Network. I'm your host, Chris Gronkowski. I'm here with my co-host, Glenn Gronkowski. And today, we have some super special guests. We got Mama Gronk hitting up the Gronkcast and a special appearance by Yo Soy Fiesta himself, Roberto James Gronkowski.
That's right. Welcome back, everyone, to Episode 10, and thanks again for tuning in. Today on the Gronkcast, we are going to discuss our bulletproof picks, give you our BetDSI Capper Cup picks of the week, and as Chris said, we have two guest appearances this week with Mama Gronk and Roberto here with us today, and they will be joining us at the end of the podcast. So once again, we are going to skip the fan question and make our picks pretty quick this week because we want to hear these stories from Mama Gronk and what she has to say about raising five boys. You won't want to miss this one because we have three of the brothers here to ask our mom what it was like to raise us and what her advice is for any parents out there. However, before we jump into the show, remember to join in on the action at BetDSI.com to play along and compete against us or to take your own picks and make some extra moolah this week. Follow the links in our social media profiles or use code GRONK69 to get a 100% sign-up bonus and join in on the action. Also, check out GetMoreSports.com for the latest betting information and up-to-date content on the NFL along with all other major sports. If you are enjoying our shows, make sure you subscribe, and also remember, we will be answering a fan question every week, so be sure to send some questions into our social media profiles to be featured on the show.
To be honest, if you're following along right now, jump on to BetDSI.com and take opposites of our picks because we're getting smoked in our picks right now. We went a combined 1-10 last week in week 5 of the NFL, and I think it's time to change up our strategy a little bit.
Yeah, I think it is time to change up our strategy. We haven't been doing too good at all. And the thing I realized last week, I'm watching all the games, the 1 o'clock games. I'm looking through. Every single home team is winning. So I go and look at the spreads, and every single home team covered the spread in the 1 o'clock games except one team. I think there was 9 games. So I looked back. I waited for the 4 o'clock games. I waited for the Sunday night game, the Monday night game. Looked back at the Thursday night game. 15 games in total, and 12 out of the 15 home teams covered the spread. So I think it's time that I think I took four, I think maybe all five of my picks last week were away teams. And I think that's why I got smoked. We went a combined 1-10 last week, bro.
Yeah,
so
that's rough.
We really need to change this up. I think we're only going to pick home teams this week. Try a little different strategy here and see what happens.
Yeah, I think it also is something to say about the NFL this year. I think it's super competitive, super hard to predict games. Every week, a team that you think isn't that great is winning, and everyone's kind of still in the race this year. There's no team like the Browns last year where it was pretty much a guaranteed lock that they were going to lose, so everyone was just betting against them every week. This year, there's some competition out there. It's going to be exciting to see how it shakes out at the end of the year.
Yeah, but you know what's pretty crazy is I really never thought there was a thing as home field advantage when I played. I used to like going on the road as a player. Usually the fans got me more hyped up, but it really just shows how much home field advantage is when fans go out there. They make noise. They make plays happen. They make false starts happen. They get the players hyped up when they're cheering for their home team and everything. So just shows how big of a difference that home field advantage actually has.
Yeah, and there's obviously huge advantages in certain stadiums as well. Playing somewhere like Seattle is pretty tough when the crowd's going crazy. So all you fans out there, make sure you're getting loud at the games and giving that hometown support because it does make a big difference when you can't hear a play call on the field.
Speaking of Seattle, they screwed me on my bulletproof pick last week. I had the Rams smoking the Seahawks, I thought the Rams offense was just going to be too much for the Seahawks offense to overcome. But, I mean, I was kind of right. The Rams put up a lot of points, but somehow the Seahawks offense put up a lot of points too, and they usually don't do that often. Seahawks proved me wrong. They covered the spread. My bulletproof pick lost again. 1-4 on the year so far with my bulletproof pick, so Chris, also 1-4 with your bulletproof pick. So, like we said earlier, take opposite us this week because we are not doing too good, but We'll see what happens with our new strategy. Might work out a little better this week.
Yeah, I actually have a new strategy. Go to iceshaker.com and buy you an ice shaker because it will be a bulletproof purchase, one of the best purchases of the year for you. That's my new bulletproof strategy. Use coupon code GRONTCAST to get $5 off your first shaker. This is the shaker we are on ABC Shark Tank with. It's double wall, vacuum insulated, kitchen grade stainless steel. It's not going to absorb odor. It's going to keep your drinks cold for over 30 hours. So check out iceshaker.com and get you a bulletproof purchase this year for you and all your friends. But let's jump into this week's bulletproof picks. Who do you got?
Who do I got this week for my bulletproof pick? I'm going with a home team, of course. Like I said, new strategy here. I'm going with the Giants plus 3.5 at home. And this is why. I absolutely love the Giants this year. They seem to be underdogs in almost every game, but they have made almost every game close so far. On the other hand, the Eagles, they continue to be favored. And I think it's just because they're the defending Super Bowl champs. But it's pretty obvious that this team is nowhere near how good it was last year. So I'm going with the Giants. They have a great pass D, and I believe they're going to be able to shut down what once was a high-flying Eagles offense and cover the spread in a low-scoring game.
Nice, nice. They're getting points at home as well. I'm going to go with the home team this week as well. I'm taking the Packers minus 10.5 against the 49ers. This is a Packers team who's coming off a big loss against the Lions. They're coming on, you know, it's going to be one of those bounce-back games. I love bounce-back games. When you get smoked like that, there's a new focus on the team. You come out the next week, you're going hard. They're playing against a 49ers team that's missing their starting quarterback. 10.5 points at home. I remember when I played in Green Bay, we got smoked, I think, by 50 points. So I'm a huge fan of the Packers in this game. I think they're easily going to cover 10.5 points at home.
Yeah, once again, also a home team, good strategy.
Thank
Chris
you.
Chris taking a home team, changing it up. Like we said, we'll see what happens. But let's jump right into our Bet DSI Capper Cup picks of the week. Like I said, we're getting through these picks pretty quick this week because we got some big-time interviews coming up with Mama Gronk and Rob. So we'll see what happens with these picks. You want to start it off this week, Chris?
Absolutely. Let's do this week. I'm not going 0-5 again, I can tell you that. I mean,
yeah, you went 0-5. Let's talk about that.
You should take
the odds. Man, you thought you were going to have a good week last week, too.
I agree. You should bet against me going 0-5. I mean, the odds of me going 0-5 again, I mean, those you make some good money if you take that and I do it again. So
I might take your picks this week because if you went 0-5 last week, you got to win something this week.
That's what I'm saying. So we're going to start with a bulletproof pick with the Packers. So that's one. Number two, I'm going to take another same strategy. I'm taking the Broncos at home on a bounce back game against the Rams. 6.5 points at home. I'm switching it up. Like we said, we got to do something different. So taking the Broncos at home. Next, taking the Falcons at home minus 3.5 against the Bucs. Jameis Winston's back in. They don't know what's going on there with Fitzpatrick, all that. So I'm taking the Falcons at home minus 3.5. Then I'm taking the Colts on the road, another bounce back game. They're playing the Jets who just won. They feel comfortable. I'm going to take the Colts who got to win this game. They're plus 2.5 on the road against the Jets. So that's the only away team that I'm taking this week. And lastly, I'm taking the Redskins at home, getting half a point against the Panthers. Let's do this.
I like those ones. You actually have a couple of the same ones that I took. So we're either going to get smoked again or we're going to do really good again. But like I said, I'm going my first pick with the Giants, bulletproof pick of the week, like I said earlier. Next pick, Bengals at home once again, minus 1.5. And, I mean, the Bengals are just on fire right now. To me, they might be the best team that nobody is talking about. They just came back on a 3-1 Miami team, down 17-0, which, I mean, in the NFL, that is almost near impossible to do. But this team is believing in themselves right now. They are at home against the Steelers, surrounded by fans who are excited about the way this season has started, how it's gone so far, and those fans are going to be loud and impact this game. My next pick, same pick you took, Falcons minus 3.5 at home. I mean, the Bucs, they are coming off a bye week, and they have been scoring points in the first three games. So, I mean, this could be a close game. Bucks could come out on top, but I don't believe the team is really buying into Jameis Winston at this point. He came into the Bears game and only came away with 7 points in the second half after Fitzpatrick was absolutely dominating the previous three games. I think Winston struggles in his first game back, even though it's after a bye week. He hasn't played in a while, and he is going against one of the worst rated passing defense in the leagues. But I think Atlanta's offense will get back on track and put up the points after their blowout loss against the Steelers last week. My fourth pick, I'm going with the Jaguars. This is the only road game I'm taking, so I really like this one. -2.5. I mean, I should take at least one road game, but I went with the Jaguars over the Cowboys on the road. This one is a little tough because the Jags, to me, they're kind of a hit or miss team, but I think they bounce back after being blown out by the Chiefs last week, and they come back and dominate the Cowboys offense that has really struggled to do anything this year. And they're only averaging 16 points a game. So I think Jacksonville's defense comes out there, shuts them down, and their low-scoring offense. But as long as the Jaguars' offense shows up this week, it does what they're capable of, I don't think this game will be much of a game for long. My final pick, as Chris took as well, Packers -10.5. That was your bulletproof pick, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I like this one too. But, I mean, I haven't really seen many Packer games this year, to be honest. And they seem like Aaron Rodgers is kind of struggling a little bit. But I took them last week against the Lions thinking Rodgers would be able to beat a 1-3 team. However, although I haven't watched many Packers games, I did watch the 49ers last week. Basically, I watched the whole game. And it looks like without Jimmy Garoppolo, it doesn't appear that this team will be putting up many points anytime soon. I'm taking the experience of Rodgers to blow out a team that is seeking for its new identity and lack of experience at the QB position.
I like it. So our bulletproof picks this week, our strategy this week, is to take bounce-back teams at home. And we're going to lock it in, and we're going to make some money this week. And now it's time for what you all been waiting for. We have the specialist guest in the house, Mama G.
That's right. We got the matriarch of the family here, of the five Gronk boys. She is here with us today, and we got to start off with a question. First of all, say hello to everyone, Mom.
Hello, everyone, Mom.
That's right. But we got to start off with the question that we get pretty much every day about you. Everybody wants to know, how tall are you?
I am 5'6".
But actually, so how did we all get so tall then?
I think that your height comes from your grandmothers, your two grandmothers.
How tall were they?
My mom, Carol Weber, is about probably 5'10", and I think your paternal grandmother was probably almost 6 foot.
So the second most important question, how expensive was the grocery bill every single week?
Well, I don't know. In today's market, it's a lot different than back then, but most of my money went to feed you guys. It was just constant feeding. We didn't eat out. We ate every meal in. You guys were just constantly eating. And then people would say, like, leftovers, no such thing as leftovers. Somebody asked me one time why our kitchen garbage can was so small. And he said, well, we don't throw anything out. Everything gets eaten.
I mean, we did have four fridges. We had two outside, two inside, just 4-5 gallons of milk a week, wasn't it? Or something crazy like that.
Wait, hold on. We got another special guest on the show that might be able to answer the question.
Oh, okay.
Rob, can you answer this question for
us? Yes! Welcome, everybody! It's the mother's favorite son, Roberto James Gronkowski here. Mom, I have a question for you everyone's been wondering too we were all in the NFL together at the same time. But first off, what has been your favorite stadium to attend? And why? And also, what games did you choose to go to when we were all playing? And how did you travel with the away games and the road games when we were all playing together? Everyone wants to know. Us brothers want to know how you did it. So, Mama G, let's hear it.
Well, basically what I did was the day the schedules came out, I printed them all. I laid them all out on the table. I crossed off away games. And then I looked at all the home games to see which ones would work out if I went to this one, and traveling, every weekend I went to a different game, a different place. Of course, first I'd see if anybody was playing each other, And then after that, I would go. But away games were not a good thing. It's a lot of traveling, hotel, rental car, flying there. And then I got to see you guys in your hotel the night before for 10, 15 minutes, like in a banquet room or something. And then that was it. That's all you got to see them. So game day, you didn't see them at all. After the game, you just got on the bus, you headed to the airport, no matter what time the game ended. So to go see you at an away game is very hard to do. But the home games, like I said, I kind of circled which ones would work out and took turns going, you know, how far I had to travel and which ones I could get to.
Wow, that's amazing. Are you sure you didn't pick games because, you know, your favorite son or something, you wanted to go to see his game, you know? Or do you pretend we're all your favorite sons?
Oh, Glenn, you mean?
Oh, Glenn, yeah.
Oh. Yes, you went to his first game, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. She went to all of my games, actually.
In
the NFL.
I did.
100% of them.
I went to every one.
Well, now we know who the favorite
definitely
is.
The favorite son.
Every one of Glenn's NFL games I did go to, yes. You're right.
Well, that's really unfair.
And I traveled for that one, too. I was an away game.
So what?
But
so,
that was because I stayed with my girlfriend that lived in that
so
house.
What's been your favorite stadium, then, to follow up on Roberto's question?
I have a lot of stadiums I really, really like, but, well, that's a hard question, but because I go to the Patriots games so much more because Rob's been there for, this is his 9th year, where you guys were all at each place for 1 year. Favorite stadium, just because of the experience and because of knowing people and feeling comfortable with it, is going to the Patriots, where there's the plaza, you know, the whole, it's attached to the whole mall. So you've got the restaurants, the entertainment, the bowling, you know, bands, all right there. You don't have to park and drive somewhere else and then come back, park again. So you just can spend the whole day there. They're very accommodating to the fans there.
Wow. What do you do when you have my jersey on, or do you even wear my jersey to the games? Because if people find out, it's just like chicks just keep attacking you, Mom, to try and get to your sons and take us away from you because you just made us wonderful, where chicks just keep running out of the woodwork to try to get to us.
Yes.
How do you deal with that?
Yeah, it's very hard to deal with. That is a major problem when I go places. So basically when I go to away, if I go to away games, I just wear a plain shirt. No one knows who I am. I don't say anything. I use my maiden name sometimes because then nobody knows who I am. But home games, I've worn all of your shirts at each of your home games. I've always worn them. When you and Chris played against each other, I took the two shirts and sewed them together. So I had front and back.
My side was a little bit bigger, too.
Why is that?
Thank you. Because she likes me more.
Oh,
guns are bigger.
Oh, I thought you meant like your half. Well, you like you had a
and more
triple
jazz.
Extra large jersey because you had a belly at the time.
Too much chicken souffle.
Yeah.
Chicken souffle.
Oh, speaking of that, how do you make that recipe, Mom? You never share it with anyone.
No, I don't.
That is the famous Mama Gronk recipe
that everybody loves. Well, you're going
to
have to get my recipe out of my book that's coming out this
that's
spring.
Right.
Whoa.
See, we're going to talk about
it
that.
It will be in there. Yeah.
When is this book dropping and what's going to be in the book?
Well, it's going to be just kind of my side of the story of raising you guys, you know, what I had to do, kind of totally being outnumbered, and everything had to do with sports, football, basketball, baseball, hockey. You guys did swimming, you did golf. I mean, anything you could possibly think to do, you did tennis. So just, you know, my kind of everyday life of, you know, 100%. You know, first one up in the morning, last one to bed at night, and just being prepared and doing everything the night before that could possibly be done and having it ready and having it in the van ready to go, you know, the next day. So kind of story of what I did.
Well, Mom, we want to know, what do you mean by you were outnumbered when we were growing up?
See, this is exactly what I mean by the being outnumbered. This is, okay, you want to know my daily life of raising you guys? This
can
is
we
my
go
daily
through a,
life.
Can we go through a normal day of
yeah, you get up, you walk around in your underwear, your boxers, if you have that, and then you come down and eat. Oh, yeah, you get up early in the morning to eat because you can't even make it through the night without eating. Then you go back to bed. Then you get back up again, and then you eat again, and then you get ready and leave. And then, yeah.
So what was the most outrageous story that you can think of? Biggest fight, anything that of any of us, maybe just one person, maybe all of us at the same time. Worst time traveling. I mean, we used to go to Myrtle Beach and fight the whole way down there.
Yeah.
What is your craziest thing that you can think of that we used to do?
Well, the hardest part of me was trying to get you guys to go to bed at night because you didn't sleep. You quit taking naps before you were two, all of you, and to try to get you to go to sleep. You just wouldn't go to sleep. And I finally get all of you in bed. And I go downstairs, I sit at the table, I'm, you know, writing out checks to pay bills, whatever I have to do to get ready for the next day. And you'd all get up and you'd all come back down and I'd just start crying because I was exhausted and you guys just didn't sleep. You just kept going.
Yeah, I remember that. I would walk down the stairs and
yeah.
You were not happy to see me.
You would climb out of your crib. And then there was a dresser in your room, and you'd climb up on the dresser. So every night when I put you to bed, before you went in your crib, I had to wheel the dresser out into the hallway so you wouldn't get up and try to climb up onto the dresser because I didn't want the dresser falling over on you. So that's one of your stories, Chris.
That's pretty cool. That's why I
got
so strong.
Yeah,
that's
what you have to look forward to now with Bear and Ledger, huh?
Yeah, I got my own two kids.
Comes back around.
I'm sure I'll be rolling out my dresser, too.
Yep. All that mocking out of Gwen of sucking his fingers, and now your son sucks his fingers, so there you go.
He wants to be just like his uncle, and he turned out special, so I'm excited.
Exactly.
So let's go through kind of like, I like the story when you tell how we get ready for hockey before we even go to bed, and we wake up and we have these 4 a.m. practices, and we just get out of bed, we wouldn't even want to move, you'd have to wake us up. We already have our equipment on, and you just throw us in the car.
Wow.
And also, speaking about our equipment already being on, can you explain to us the equipment we used to use and how we used to just do hand-me-downs to each other and how my pants had the biggest hole in it with my pads hanging out of the pants, and the team always wanted to raise money for myself to buy a new pair of pants.
Oh, I can answer that one because 4 years later, and I still had those same pants. So they're even worse than when you wore them.
Yeah.
I think they're about 20 years old at the time.
Hey,
you guys came to appreciate that. You know what? You didn't have to have everything new. You could do. There was nothing wrong with the pants except for the pads were falling out of them. They were ripped. They still worked.
Hey, everyone knew who we were, and we looked like some badass dudes. So that was pretty cool,
and
actually.
When Gwen went shopping for his stuff, I'd say, "Oh, we need to go get you new pads, whatever." He'd go down in the basement and start digging through containers of pads till he found what he wanted. That was like his shopping for new stuff.
I think we were the only people with blue hockey shorts.
Yeah.
They were about 30 years old.
Because they went out of style.
We were the only people to ever wear them. Everyone else had black.
You know, you got a new...
You could easily find us with our blue hockey shorts.
You each got your own new helmet, and you each got your own wiener cup. So that's all they had, right? Other than that, you know what? You shared everything. So that was the most important thing.
All right,
pieces to be covered in your, according to you guys. So.
This story came up on an earlier podcast, I believe, but walk us through, you know, when we were really well behaved for a month and we got this one special treat and it was to go to Denny's and get the $1.99 out of your mind special.
Yeah, I think it's $5.99 out of your mind.
How many times did we actually get to go per year? Because I think it was kind of on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
If we were all good for a month, we'd be able to go. But usually that ended up being once a year. And then when we got in the car to go, it usually got reversed because we were already fighting by the time we got in the car.
Yeah, you guys were brutal. I would take you to Denny's. We get like a pitcher of orange juice. And then we get the $1.99 out of your mind meal. And that was like our big treat to go out because we never went out to eat. But you guys really liked that. But then you got, you know, a little older. And then you each were getting two. And then... You know, you probably could have gone to 3 or 4 of them. So we didn't go very often, but the poor waitress when we left. The mess on the floor.
What about the Burger King trips coming from hockey? And how did
we
convince you to stop?
You didn't stop. We didn't stop at Burger King. Remember, we always went by and saw your friends, you know, at Burger King, and like, we're going. You guys stunk. Your hands just stunk. How could I?
We would drive by with our friends in the car. We would chant Burger King, Burger King, and then you would, and then you would drive by, and we go boo.
How could you think of eating with that stench on your body? Like you stunk.
We were kids. What you do?
We were kids.
Not care at all, and we did reek. I remember that.
Oh my gosh, this stuff was brutal.
Those gloves.
Came home, and
then
all
I'd pass
got...
them down.
Yep.
To the next bro to wear, and he'd have to wear the same smelly gloves.
Well, they, when they got wet, they were nasty, really nasty. But it all got washed every day. Anything that could be washed, got washed that day.
That's right. I mean, but obviously you did an amazing job raising five kids. All of us became professional athletes, 4 in football. 1 in baseball. I mean, what were your expectations for us? What were your expectations for us as kids? I mean, obviously you don't really expect your kids to all go professional in sports, but what were your expectations as us growing up? And at what point did you see that we could actually play at the professional
level? Right
when
I came out of her tummy, she knew I was going pro.
You didn't come out of my tummy, by the way, Rob.
Right? We all knew something was wrong with me from the beginning.
Yeah, that's for sure. Oh, so I'll tell the story of speaking of when Rob was in my whatever he wants to call where he doesn't know where he was, but before he was born, pre-Rob, and the doctor said, "You want to know if it's a boy or a girl?" And I said, "No, I didn't know. I didn't know with the first three. I don't want to know with the fourth one." And she said, "Well, I can't tell you anyway because the hand's in the way." And I was like, "Well, you just told me what it is." Yeah, so see, now you understand, this is my life. This is what we always talk about. So yeah, these have been 30.
The doctor warned you.
Yeah. Well.
When Rob came out, is that the same time you bought the green spoon?
I don't, you know what? I don't know when, how long. Oh, wait.
So the green spoon, by the way, when we were in trouble, the green spoon,
oh,
she has
God.
It with her.
Purse.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. I'm out of here.
Oh, there goes Rob.
This is how we used to get spanked when we were
bye,
bad.
Rob.
Rob's
bye.
Out of here.
I just saw the green spoon. I'm out. Thank you for having me. See you later. The green spoon is here, and it's about to be used on Chris's and Glenn's butt.
Well, right. So, yes, I brought my green spoon. Right. I still have it. It was missing for many years, but cool. I found it again in the basement in a box.
You got to tell a story of it missing. What happened with that?
Yeah, you guys tell the story of what happened with it, because one of you
Chris,
hit
I
it.
Think you were the one that hit it. You want to tell that story?
I'm not really
There's
sure how it happened.
There's a lot of things that I don't know because you guys all blame whoever's not here. So let's see, Dan and Gordy aren't here, so you can blame one of them because they're not here right now.
I blame Gord. He was probably having one of those parties and had some friends over, and they were probably using
probably taking shots out of the spoon.
Yeah, they were probably making jungle juice with it or something.
Wow, there we go.
And it got lost. I mean,
it was all gone.
Yes, I brought the green spoon just so you guys could
see.
So
where was
it
found?
It was found buried in the basement when we went to move, right?
Yes.
Went to move into a new house.
Found it. Yep, I don't know. It was missing for a while, but...
And this spoon is like super, super hard plastic, so it was good for spanking. That's for sure.
If I could catch you. But then it didn't mean anything because when I spanked you, you just laughed at me anyway, so it didn't really matter.
Well, now that Rob's gone, let's go over our academics a little bit, explain how you took care of us, made sure we got our homework done before we were going outside and playing every day, and how we all went to college. We got degrees, besides the guy who left.
That's why we had to wait till he left.
Yeah, to talk about this subject.
Yeah, in front of him.
And kind of just your role in helping us get to that academic. We were most A students for the most part, and so pretty impressive, especially while being athletes throughout high school, college, our whole, obviously onto the NFL as well, and still being able to maintain a really good grade point average.
Well, you did. You guys always had. Actually, you carried your teams. Like, Glenn, for example, in college, you always got all of the academic honors and, helped to carry the team and keep the team average up. That's for sure. And you were always at the very top of the class, if not the top of your football class. Yeah, I didn't really have a problem with you guys with the homework. You know, you set a standard of going, okay, you know, it has to be done before you go back to school on, you know, tomorrow, or if you had over the weekend, you knew that you had a busy schedule because you had two hockey games and you had, you know, a birthday party and you had all different things that were going on over the weekend. Okay, so when are you going to do your homework that you do Monday morning? So you'd figure it out and say, you know, okay, it's got to be done Friday night then, or I have Saturday afternoon to do it, you know, something. But I was very lucky in the sense that, you know, I guess just knowing that this is the expectations and that's the way it goes. And you do your homework before you go to school. And I never really had a problem. You guys didn't even, you guys like school. So I never had a problem with, Chris, I remember one time I tried to get you to stay home one day to get a delivery because I couldn't be there. You were in high school and you did not want to stay home. You didn't want to miss a day of school. I mean, you guys just love going, but you always did so well in school. I was blessed in the sense that, you know, you had that, but you had a good background and reading, and I tried to teach you all things, you know, when you were young and keep you involved so that, you know, school was a little easier when you learned to read and write a little earlier, so...
I mean, you used to bring me to the library, and you got to tell those stories about when I'd get off the school bus.
Right. We'd have to tell you to put the book down so you could cross the street after you got off the school bus.
Wow.
Because he loved to read. And then all of a sudden, one day, that was over. He didn't want to read anymore. But you were probably in second or third grade when you decided you didn't want to read anymore. So you had such a great foundation of reading when you were younger. But you all did very well in school. You know, I mean... Dan had the Rhodes Scholar opportunity. Chris was accepted to Harvard. Glenn's had three majors and a minor when he graduated, two majors and a minor when he graduated from K-State University, you know. So, you know,
yeah, I mean,
everybody's done well.
You definitely instilled in us that academics came first before sports, because obviously sports don't last forever.
Exactly. Exactly. When you think your child has made it to the big time, the next day he could be done. You know, an injury, you could be the end. You don't know when the day's going to come to end it, so you have to have a backup plan, which is way more important than being in the NFL. Because, I mean, Chris, you know, what are you doing now? All things that you learned so much in college, in all your accounting classes and management classes, and Glenn, the same with you doing that, that if you didn't have that background, a lot of people struggle with math and reading and stuff like that. So if you didn't have that when you own your own business, where would you be? I mean, you'd be broke because you didn't know how to manage your money and take care of, you know, business as it should be.
Absolutely. And I think that our academic background actually, I know for sure, helped me get a full scholarship to Division I football. They brought me in mostly to help boost the grades because they were about to go on academic probation. So I got a late offer to the University of Maryland just because my grades were so good. So I contribute that to, you know, you making us sit down and do our work before we went out to play. And I tell people that story all the time. And I think Glenn was probably right there with me, you know, not a star athlete coming out of high school. So the grades, when you're trying to get a scholarship, that's huge, and colleges do look at that, and they know
they
that
do.
A guy who has a great GPA, that guy's not going to be a problem. Whereas you might bring in another guy who has the same talent level, might be, you know, you're not sure if you want to offer him or not, and they might not give that guy that offer because they don't want to deal with the academic probation or just worrying about him getting bad grades. So
right, because once they get bad grades, they're out. They can't play football.
And it's just such a hassle chasing them down, making sure they're at class. They knew that they were going to get great students out of us, and that's also why we got scholarship offers to play Division I football.
Exactly. There's so much more. I can't stress enough, so much more after sports. I mean, the five of you, professional athletes, but your life after sports is so important because that's most of your life. The sports is a little tiny piece of it that... it doesn't last long. Like I said, you know, Chris, injury, you're out, you know, just overnight. One day you're here and the next day you're gone. So
having the good academics definitely helped get us scholarships, but it's also because we were a beast. Because Mama knew how to feed us, Mama Gronk knew how to feed us. like we were saying earlier, the chicken souffle recipe, everybody's favorite, family favorite, all the friends love it. Where did you get those recipes from? What did you cook us every night? Like, how did you come up with new recipes every single week? Just keep feeding us over and over, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Like you said, we never went out. How did you do that?
Well, besides going to Denny's for the $1.99 Are You Out of Your Mind, that was...
Once a year.
You guys ate every meal. When you were in school, you took a lunch to school with you most of the time. You really didn't want to buy the lunches. And you took a second lunch every single day with frozen drinks in it that would keep your lunch cold, so that you ate the one lunch at lunchtime and the second one with the drinks you ate after school before your practice, you know, between school and practice or wherever you were headed to. And then you'd come home and have dinner. So basically the things that I always had to make were things that were like casserole things. That's where the chicken souffle came about, because it kind of, you know, it has a lot in it. It's got milk in it, and it's got, you know, some celery and onion in it. It's got the chicken in it. So, you know, you're kind of covering a few things there, and has eggs. So covering a few things in there that, you know, you needed to fill you up, first of all, and were better for you than any prepared foods that you buy. I try to cook everything. My recipes, 99% of my recipes came from my mom, Carol Weber, who lives in Nokomis, Florida. And I want to say hi to my mom. And most
hi,
of the
Grandma.
So most of my recipes came from her. And actually, Chris, your blueberry buckle that you love so much, that's Grandma's recipe too. She just had the best recipes. Although I do make a banana bread for every one of my customers when they return in the fall from up north, and they come back, and we, you know, my Home Watch customers, and that recipe actually was my husband, Mike Walters, and his mom, Carol Tomczyk, that was their recipe. So I make about 150 loaves of banana bread for my returning customers. They each get one when they come back. But besides that, probably all Grandma Weber's recipes.
So are you going to pass these recipes down to my wife, Brittany, so that she can make all these for my kids?
I would love to pass all my recipes down to my daughter-in-laws and my grandchildren. You guys love them so much. They're, you know, things you kind of have to prepare ahead of time. You know, it's time-consuming to cook, that's for sure. So I would love to pass anything down to my daughter-in-law.
That's what I'm talking about. I just wanted to make sure that my son was going to become a beast too. Now I got confirmation of it. So let's move on. You talked about the Home Watch a little bit. Let's talk about what you're doing now and just go over a little bit. I don't think anyone's really heard of a Home Watch before, and something really that is something that's happening in Florida where you're living. Can you kind of detail that a little bit more and let everyone know what you're up to these days?
Okay, so my husband, Mike Walters, and I moved down to Florida full-time 5 years ago from the Buffalo area. We just decided that we needed some sunshine. And we went down there, and we realized very quickly that there's a lot of people who leave for 6, 7, 8, 9 months a year. Some people leave and don't come back maybe once every couple years. So their homes are vacant. We go in average every other
parties.
Week. Yeah, we sleep in their beds, we throw parties, we go through their refrigerators, we take all their liquor. So we go in and we make sure that everything is okay. We have to check their air conditioner. We don't want the air conditioner to be down and then mold start and they're not coming back for 7, 8 months and their place is just filled with mold. The humidity just is very, very high all summer, so that would be a big problem real quick. We make sure there's no rodents. You know, the raccoons like to get up in people's attics and build their little nests. So the rodents, the air conditioning, make sure there's no water leaks. We kind of go through anything that needs to be checked, anything that can run, you know, your faucets and your toilets and your bathtub and your showers, anything that has water that goes through, we run those to just kind of keep everything going. It's a big business down there. It's a very important business. But when we lived up north, we didn't even know there was such a thing because we didn't have a place in Florida at the time. And you don't know that is a huge business for people.
It is a huge business because you were actually doing it too. You were going down to Florida. You did have it when you were living in Buffalo, so you would go down there for a month or two, and you would actually need somebody to watch your place. So it's a huge, huge business for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Really, it's all about trust as well, because you're letting people come into your house that you don't know, and that's why you guys have been so successful. I remember I go down and I try to help you out, and you guys won't even let me help. So all about trust and knowing who's actually going into your house. And these are nice houses and nice things in
they
them.
They're gorgeous multi-million-dollar homes and great people. You can't just let anybody come in. I mean, it just isn't right. I've had neighbors come over and say, oh, you know, I want to check out. And I'm like, nope, sorry, you can't come in when I'm here because I don't have authority to let you in.
And my favorite part about it is that you guys literally know everyone down there now. So anytime we go out, everyone knows us. Everyone's friends. We're always having a good time. People are always inviting you guys over for dinner. So I love coming down, hanging out with you and your hundreds of friends now.
Exactly. We have great, great customers. They have become really good friends, a lot of them. So we're very lucky with that. It's really worked out well.
Absolutely, but I think it's about time to wrap it up. But before we do, we got one more question.
Oh, no.
Who is your favorite son, and what is your best parenting tip?
Okay, I'm the favorite son. I plead the fifth. How can you say who your favorite is?
Me.
Okay, Glenn says him. Chris says, yeah. So there, as a mother, each of your children is different. You carried each of your children and you felt life inside of you, as Rob says, in your stomach or your butt. Rob's got to get a couple things straight. He doesn't quite know the anatomy
yet. You need to work on his academics with him a little bit more.
Yeah. So as a mother, feeling life inside of you, and the first time you feel you roll over, your arm move, you know, whatever, and feeling life inside of you. And from then on, you love the child unconditionally. There is no favorites. There couldn't be. I mean, there's just people have 10 and 15 kids, and there's no favorites. You know, of course, I do like getting good Christmas presents and birthday presents and stuff. So
you're
that kind of pushes.
Yeah, how about
it
that last birthday gift?
Yeah, the roses.
Thank you.
My roses that last for 3 or more years. Blue. I'm still waiting for the pink one.
Well, we'll see if that girl comes.
And the other part of your question.
This is the part that I'm very curious about now that I got two boys myself.
Yeah, you can't even handle them.
Yeah,
it with five.
I'm still trying
so
to figure out how you
do. You better listen up to this tip right here.
I'm listening.
Okay, so there's a bunch of things, but one was my calendar. I was behind the times, I guess, in not having, you know, everything in my phone or whatever at the time. Well, we didn't have a phone at the time. But anyway, I had a big, huge wall calendar, and everything was on there. So if I wasn't home, anybody could look and say, oh, you know, Chris comes home, and he's like, oh, where's Mom? You look and go, oh, she took Dan to hockey. Oh, and then she had to take Glenn to basketball. And then she had to go get Dan from hockey and drop him off at basketball and pick up Glenn and bring him to baseball. So, you know, wherever I had to be that day. The calendar, being prepared, huge, of having everything ready the day before for the next day. Another big thing is being involved. I volunteered in a lot of the things, almost everything that you guys did. I wasn't usually the big top, you know, volunteer, but I was in there volunteering, so I knew where you were, who you hung out with, what you were doing. I'm also a huge, huge advocate for stay-at-home moms. I was a stay-at-home mom. I have a saying that I gave up my paycheck and pension and vacation time and 401k so you guys could have those paychecks and pensions and 401ks that you have. So the five of you have done very well in that respect. But being a stay-at-home mom, I knew where you were. I knew who you hung out with. Most of the time, you guys love to bring your friends back home. which I thought, in some respects, I thought was kind of funny because, you know, your friend's parents weren't home. Why didn't you want to go to their house and hang out there where there were no parents? But you generally always brought your friends back home because you came in and, you know, the friends, I think they enjoyed having me there because, you know, they got fed and there was somebody around and they talked to me and, you know, we had a lot of your friends that ended up living with us for a while too because, you know, their parents weren't around much. But the stay-at-home mom, I can't stress it enough. I know everybody can't do that, but, you know, sometimes you have to sit back and say what's more important is raising the kids because they're gone before you know it, or having the big, huge house and all the vacations and the cars so that, you know, now you're not home with your kids because you have to go to work to pay for those things. So I know everybody's situation is different and everybody has their own beliefs, and that's just my belief in, you know, you guys staying out of trouble was because I was there and I knew what you were doing more than you know that I knew what you were doing. I'm sure there's some things I'll never know, but that's kind of my big push for, you know, stay-at-home moms and giving them some credit.
Well, those facts are all true because the only time you guys did leave...
There's a huge party.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I knew that. I mean, I was a kid. I knew, you know... Plus, I have other ways of knowing things.
So, yeah, the one time a month you guys would leave us for a couple hours. It was something that Gord taught us to do, have a party. And, yeah, we would always get caught for it, too.
Because you guys didn't know how to clean up after yourselves. If you knew how to clean up after yourselves, hey, Reagan's here. If you guys knew how to clean up after yourselves, I mean, how can you... clean up the whole house and do everything, put everything away, and then you take all the recycles and put them in the recycle bin. Like, all the beer bottles and empty, you know. Like, hello, when I left, they weren't in the recycle bin, and now I come back and the recycle bin is overflowing with beer bottles.
Well, it sounded like a really good idea after I was partying.
Well, that's why I was all happy we moved. I usually just throw it in a trash can and throw it in the woods in the back.
Yeah, so, the woods. Yeah, the woods was key. In our backyard.
Now there's trees all over them, so I don't think those were ever found. That was a good move.
Yeah, I guess it, yeah.
And when it snowed out, that was good, too, because you could hide it in the snow.
Except there'd always be footprints.
Oh, yeah. That's how I got caught.
You didn't think of that one.
Yeah, like I said, after I was partying, it sounded like a good idea.
Yeah, now your friends would come over, and they'd have their water bottles, and they're going downstairs with their water bottles and cutting through the garage. And they could never figure out how I knew they were in the garage because as soon as they walked in from outside into the garage, the alarm in the house beeped. So and it said, garage door. And then I'd open the door and be like, oh, how did you know I was here? I'm like, oh, I just thought, I didn't know. I was just coming out in the garage to get something. And then they'd come in and they had their water bottles.
Always wanted to stay hydrated.
Yeah. You think that I really believe there was water in the water bottles?
Hey, yeah. It worked on other parents.
Of course, you were all over 21 when this happened, and so, you know, I was okay with it because, you know, you were all legal.
Yeah, those were the days.
All right, I think it's time to wrap up this week's edition of the Grindcast. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Rob, for joining us on this episode and sharing your stories and advice with us. And thanks to everyone for joining us as well. Don't forget to head over to BetDSI.com, place some bets, and make some extra cash this week. Take our picks or take your own, but be sure to follow the links in our profile and use code GRONK69 to get a 100% sign-up bonus. We'll also be having more guest appearances on future episodes, so make sure you tune in to find out who else will be joining us. Thanks again for tuning in to the GRONKcast, and remember to subscribe to get weekly reminders of when our podcast is posted, and also ask us questions on Twitter and Instagram to be featured on future shows. That's it for this episode. We'll see you next week.
The Grokcast is brought to you by GetMoreSports.com and iShaker. So visit GetMoreSports.com after the show for more NFL insights, analysis, picks, and podcasts from us. Also, check out the links below for more information on iShaker, the double wall, vacuum insulated, sweat-free, kitchen-grade stainless steel shaker bottle as seen on ABC Shark Tank. With over 30 products, there's something perfect for you. We also want to thank BetDSI.com for sponsoring the show. BetDSI is the world's top sports book and has been online for more than 20 years. It's free to sign up. And if you want to start betting with real cash, BetDSI accepts credit card deposits. Remember, it's now legal in the USA, so go make some picks. Follow the links on our podcast page and use promo code GRONK69 when signing up at BetDSI.com. This promo code gives you 100% bonus on your deposit up to the first $500. So head to BetDSI.com and make a few bets on our picks or pick your own. And remember to use code GRONK69 when you sign up.